Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. Before we continue, I would just like to thank everybody for contributing toward the food distribution in our community. We almost reached our 200,000th meal, and we want to thank you, everybody, for their contribution, their generosity, and just really sharing with those in need. And also just to reaffirm that if there's any member of our church that are in need, please contact myself or Christopher, and we would love to also assist you in this time. Before we continue, let us just pray. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together. Lord, we know you say where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst of us. And Lord, in this challenging time, Lord, we ask that you will comfort us with your word, with your character, and with your presence. And as we are here, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us, open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that it may grow in us and produce the fruit that it purposed to do. We thank you for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon is Jesus' words, where he declared, "I am the bread of life." Last week, we started to look at Jesus' life and how he started his ministry being led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, where he fasted for 40 days. And being hungry, the devil came to tempt him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus' answer, we read in Luke chapter 4, says so powerfully. And Jesus answered him and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from God." And then we also looked at this portion of scripture that Jesus quoted to help us understand more of that what Jesus meant. In Deuteronomy 8 from verse 3, we read, "And he humbled," God humbled you, "causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." You see, the Word of God declares that the Old Testament is simply a shadow, a metaphor pointing to Jesus. And Jesus, in turn, said so powerfully that he did not come to abolish the old, but to establish or to fulfill it. And so we read in this context also how Jesus quoted the Old Testament, but in a sense setting the stage for the fulfillment of it. A few months after these words in the desert, Jesus fed 5,000 people. 5,000 hungry people in a desert, Jesus spoke to them and fed them. And I want us to look at this because the purpose of feeding the 5,000, again, hungry people in a desert, was to teach them something, just like Deuteronomy says. It was there to teach them through the feeding of the 5,000 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As a matter of fact, all four Gospels actually records this event so that we can see the significance of it. Jesus so powerfully emphasized and gave us further insight into the meaning of these words that he spoke in the desert. Now, I just want to give you some context before we continue. How did we get to this place where Jesus fed the 5,000? It was just after Jesus received the news of John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod. And receiving this news, Jesus wanted to depart to a deserted place to be on his own so that he could mourn the death of his cousin and a great prophet. But the news leaked of Jesus' intent and the destination. And as Jesus was journeying to this deserted place, so a multitude from all the villages came together and followed Jesus there. And Jesus, when he saw the crowd, even though he wanted to be alone, had compassion on them and started to minister to them and healed all their sick. And this crowd was a large crowd. I mean, word says just the men was 5,000 people. And Jesus was busy the whole day ministering to them and healing them. And it became late. And so his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, send these people home because they are hungry. And we're in the middle of nowhere." And then interestingly, Jesus turned to his disciples and said the following. He said, "You must feed them." And we read here in John 6, verse 6, "But he had said this to test them,
for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus asked them to feed them as a test. What was this test? Well, the test was simply, do you believe that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Just like the people in the desert were hungry and God fed them by his word, gave them what they did not know, yet sustained them through his word, so too to this very day man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His disciples' response was, How shall we do this? How shall we feed this multitude that is hungry in the desert? We do not have enough money, and even if we had enough money, we don't have any shops here. We're in the middle of nowhere. And Jesus asked them, so what do you have? And so they said, well, we've got these 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that's hardly enough for one man, less than known, 5,000. And here is the parallel between Deuteronomy 8 and this feeding of the 5,000. They were hungry, and God was about to feed them, to teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. So Jesus instructed the people to sit down, and thus creating an expectation that something was about to happen. And then so powerfully, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to the Father, and then he broke it. And as he broke it, he started to give the pieces to his disciples, telling them to give it in turn to the people. And so they distributed the food until everybody had enough to eat. As a matter of fact, when they were all full, he instructed them to collect all the pieces, the leftovers, and there was 12 baskets full. When the crowd, seeing this great sign, they went ballistic, wanting to take Jesus and make him king by force. But Jesus saw their intent and sent his disciples away on their boat to the other side. And he himself went alone into the mountains. And then in the middle of the night, Jesus came down the mountain and walked to his disciples, walked on the sea to the boat. And we know that story. He got into the boat and then they got to the other side. The next morning, the crowd, so excited about Jesus, were looking for him. Seeing that the disciples went to the other side, Jesus into the desert, searching for him, could not find him in the desert, then decided, let's go also to where the disciples are. And so they went there searching for Jesus, and there they found him. And finally, finding him, the first question they asked him was a very obvious one. It says, Lord, how did you get here? And then interestingly, Jesus answered him, verse 26. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves, you ate of the bread, and you were filled. Jesus was saying, you do not seek me for who I am. You seek me because you had a need, you were hungry, and I fed you. I fed you bread. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. And so in verse 27, Jesus says, do not work for the food which that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And so they respond in verse 30 to 31, taking us back again to Deuteronomy 8. They say, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You see, man shall not live by physical bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is this word of God that became flesh, the incarnation, came down from heaven to man, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus continues here in verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. You see, through faith in Jesus Christ and accepting his sacrifice, we will have eternal life. Because he is the bread of life that came down from heaven. And so we read in the Last Supper, when Jesus had the final meal with his disciples, he took some bread. And we read here in Luke 22, verse 19, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which I give to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so powerfully, again, taking us back to this parallel in Deuteronomy 8, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Communion is a powerful acknowledgement and accepting of Jesus' sacrifice in faith. It is not the communion that saves us. It is our faith in what it represents that saves us. And when we eat the bread, we are accepting the true bread that comes from heaven, which is Jesus. And when we drink the cup, we are accepting his sacrifice for our sins. It becomes a very personal matter when we partake of communion. When we eat the bread and when we drink the cup, we confess our faith in him and who he is. Therefore, Jesus continues in verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. You know, communion is not something we do. It is something we believe. It is something that we believe, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the word that became flesh, the word that came down so that whoever believes in him, feeds on him, will have everlasting life. And that was accomplished through his sacrifice and his work on the cross. John 6, verse 26, I want us to go back there. It says the following, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were full. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. You do not seek me for who I am. You seek me because I met your need. You were hungry, and I filled you. But do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what is that food that we labor for? What is that we spend all our effort on? What do we work for in this life? Jesus said in verse 28, then he said to him, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You know, as a nation, during this time, there is going to be an increase of need all around us. Physical need. The need for protection. The need for healing. The need for a cure. The need for employment. The need for provision. Let us not turn to God just for what we physically need, but let us also turn to God for who He is. There are some who will only labor for and only pursue for what they physically need. To find their provision for what they need in this life. But there are others who will pursue God first. They will pursue God for who He is. And not just for what He can provide. Ephesians says it so powerfully that those who seek God, not just for what He can do for us, but for who He is, will have so much more. Not just what we need physically, but eternal life. It says here in Ephesians 3 verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Let us be the latter in this time. Let us not just pursue God for our physical need, for our physical food, but let us pursue God for who He is. Let us pursue Him in faith that we believe that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let us pursue God in this time to gain an understanding of His word, to memorize His word, to make it part of our lives, to eat His word in a sense that we search for its truth, where we meditate and we ponder and memorize it upon ourselves. As we take in bread that gives life to our mortal bodies, let us take in the word of God and make it part of our soul, our being, our everything. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when we do, we will have more than just our physical need. We will have eternal life. So I want to encourage you again in this time, let us use this opportunity. Not be distracted, but focused on who God is. Let us live not just by physical things, but let us live by His word. Let His word sustain us. Let His word provide for us and lead us to life. It's in this place that we find our peace and our provision. And I want to encourage us in this time to do just that. Let us close our eyes. Father, we want to thank You for this time. We want to thank You, Lord, that in this time You are teaching us. You are showing us, Lord, just as we are in need, You are also able to provide for us so that we may know that we will not just live by the natural and the physical things, but we shall live by every word that proceeds from Your mouth. And Lord, even though what we have is too little to feed and to provide, Lord, we thank You, God, that You are able to multiply so that we may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. God, I pray that You'll grant us a revelation, an understanding, and a desire, a pursuit, Lord, as we do in hunger for food, Lord, that we will also pursue Your word, that we will gain understanding and a revelation, application, and life through it, that we may be known as Your followers, the little ones, the little Christs that follow Your word until we are seen to be Christians, Christ-like. Lord, I pray for this blessing in this time, that we will be light in the midst of darkness, that we will lead people to You, the true source of life and provision, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are together, I want to suggest that this is a perfect opportunity for all of us to partake in communion together as a family and with our friends, that you will take some bread and some wine or juice, and that we will meditate upon what Christ has done for us. Not just His sacrifice and His forgiveness, His resurrection, but also the fact that He is indeed the Word that became flesh, the bread of life that came down from heaven, so that whoever feeds on Him will have eternal life. I pray that as we partake of communion, the body and the blood, that it will have a new meaning and significance to us, and that we will continue in Him forever. So let's partake together with one another.
Amen.